Hello and welcome. Ronnie's Own Media and RonnieZone.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roney from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show.
Hey everybody, this is the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. My name is Jeff Roney.
And I'm Colleen Roney.
And Happy New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year. For some of our listeners, it's already next year.
Right.
For some of the other listeners, we still have a little time to go.
So, it has been a wonderful time. I've had the time off, as well as Colleen has had the time off. This week after Christmas and till New Year's.
Yeah, just after, actually.
Yep. So, this has been one heck of a week.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow, thank you so much for the new reviews and ratings on iTunes. We could use more, but so far it's just been fantastic. The podcast is now up into the top 10. Of the category, so that's really, really, really cool.
It's amazing.
And by a good fortune, we got to have lunch with a dwarf from Once Upon a Time and his wonderful family.
Yes, we did. That was awesome.
So we live not too far from Disneyland.
Right.
And so, you know, some situations kind of fell in line. And there we were, shaking hands and talking to Jeffrey Kaiser.
Yes. He plays Dopey.
Yep.
He hugged me.
Yeah. That was so cool.
It was surreal is what it was.
Yeah.
It was unbelievably surreal. It was pretty awesome.
And I think one of the coolest moments was when I was trying to explain to him how much love the fans have for him, the cast, and the show.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that was something actually very interesting is because he's not been seen as much. I think he's only been seen twice. I tried to explain. I said, once you're seen more,
mm-hmm.
this just wave is going to come at you, you know, the fans that really love the show.
Right.
So
it's well, and I think really, it's partly because, you know, he's not as exposed down here in, you know, in the States. He's Canadian. Mm-hmm. They're not exposed to the same kind of stuff we are.
Yeah.
And I think that makes a huge difference.
And it was my privilege to explain to him just kind of what we've experienced on Twitter and everywhere. So it was really neat. He didn't tell us any secrets, any spoilers.
We're not holding back on you guys.
But I tell you, he looked at us and he was so excited. He says, I can't tell you anything. But he was just brimming.
Oh, my gosh. He just said, you don't even know.
Yeah.
It's going to just blow your mind. And we're like, yay. Yeah. The scenes that he's in, the episode that he's in, he said specifically, the one that they, you know, there's one that they've already taped and he's very excited about it. So we were equally excited. You know, part of me wanted to ask him, so what exactly? Right. But then I thought, no. First of all, I don't want to get him in trouble. So he spilled nothing. And secondly, I really kind of don't want to know. I want to be surprised. So, but it was really fun. His mom and his brother were with him and they are just the nicest people. And we had a great lunch. We had a great time talking with them and getting to know him and them and found that we have a lot in common. And it was really kind of cool.
He did mention something about when they shot the coffin scene, that it was actually pretty rare for snow to be falling there.
Right.
And it was kind of
the time of year.
Yeah. So it was kind of shocking to the folks that live around there and the crew that it would be snowing in that area. So it was almost like nature was kind of kicking in and helping out.
Yeah.
You know, the scene. So. But, it was just really, Jeffrey's a cool guy. His family's just awesome. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just, yeah, it's another reason I really love the show, because the cast is so cool.
They are. They're amazing. And, they really are.
So I thanked him for being on the voicemail that he that Mig arranged and and called in. And, you know, he's very appreciative, and he loves the fans.
Oh, he totally
does. And, so anyway, I just want to pass that on to you guys, the listeners, and he's just so excited about what's coming. So,
and that's really cool, because then that gives us something to look forward to.
Yeah.
So,
yep. So we're going to play some voicemails, and then we just took a look at the sneak peeks. So we'll kind of talk about, I think, some things that we can look forward to. So at the end of the voicemails, if you feel like even the discussion of the sneak peeks or spoilers, you can stop it and I'll let you know. And you can come back and listen to that later. But, you know, as far as kind of what we discussed on the show here is, if something is released in a sneak peek, it's open season to be discussed.
Right, right.
It's not a spoiler.
Right. So. We're not digging for information. No. That's just not us.
Yep.
So we're not showing you or telling you anything you can't get somewhere else.
Nope. And the one thing I do want to say really quick before I forget is there's really two halves to this show. There is the podcast, but then there's also the blog that's on our site. And it's almost like two parts, because I know that there's certain people that enjoy listening and enjoy the podcast, but there's other people that really would rather not, or don't have time or whatever, but they love to read and look at pictures.
Right.
So that's what the blog is all about. And the blog is at A Closer Look, OUAT.RoniZone.com. And that'll take you to the blog portion. Mm-hmm. And I posted a funny, you know, I mean, I'm a fairly funny guy, but this show for the most part has been fairly serious, and, you know, we're kind of studying the show and talking about different theories and stuff, but I decided to do a funny bit. You know, I remember when we watched the episode, because we are used to Lost.
Right.
And one of the jokes that Colleen and I always had was, okay, so there are these people that survived this crash, but there's always people in the background carrying wood or sticks, or there's all these people in the background, and they're like
who are these people? Where'd they come from?
How many thousands of people are on this island, you know? And so it is always the kind of the jokes about the background people.
We call them Nikki and Paolo, because there were two characters in Lost, for those that don't know, Nikki and Paolo. And they actually did a couple of episodes with them in it, and they were just, everybody hated the characters, and that specifically their backstory episode was just terrible. So everyone hated that. And they just kind of became anybody who is the background character who you really, it's kind of a throwaway character or whatever, they're Nikki and Paolo.
Yeah. So there was a particular scene, and it all kind of came together when folks like Dave called in from Oregon, and he mentioned the boarded up business.
Right.
And so I started looking into it, and it was not a bookstore. I was wrong. It was a library.
Oh, interesting.
So it was the boarded up library. And so I was just kind of pointing, there's a lady sweeping the sidewalk. And I said, why is the lady sweeping the sidewalk in front of a closed down library? Yeah. What's the purpose?
Yeah.
She didn't even say hello to Emma. She didn't say hello to Henry.
Yeah. She was just background filler.
And so I said, you know, was she having a bad day? Why was she so rude? You know, and I started really kind of picking at this poor lady that was sweeping the sidewalk. And I said, you know, we know that Belle is coming as a character. And someone mentioned that, you know, Belle probably, you know, owns the bookstore or I'm sorry, the library, has something involved. I said, is it Belle? Is it Belle's accountant? So that was one of the blog posts on the blog that I was talking about. And actually, Manny, a gentleman that posted something, he said, the library's probably closed up because that's where all the dates are. That's where all the lives are. And so with it being closed up, the Dark Curse lives are the only ones that anyone knows. Mm. And I was thinking that's very interesting because the amnesia that David Nolan had, actually, there was a possibility where he would know his fairy tale life and that kind of a thing. Mm, mm-hmm. So, and then Obie's girl, I believe, also posted and said, you know, that's where I think everybody came into Storybrooke from the fairy tale land. Initially, when the Evil Queen broke out the roof and the smoke came in, the wind and all that. Obie's girl feels that the clock tower building is where everyone came in. And it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Because the clock tower is kind of a reminder that the curse is in effect because time stopped.
Right.
So, so go check out the blog. Go do that. Yep. So that's important. One more thing before we go on is, I made a blunder. I did. So, I associated Sawyer with the man from Tallahassee. I was wrong. The man from Tallahassee was Locke's father. Okay. So let's leave it at that. I made a mistake.
Yes.
My bad. Okay. So what I want to do now is we're going to play some voicemails and then we'll talk about the next episode called Desperate Souls.
Cool. Okay.
And here are the very cool listener voicemails.
Hi, this is Tyler from Seattle calling with a connection that I just thought about, and it regards Rumpelstiltskin, and I kind of feel like with how they all come to him to get an answer to a question, and then he, like, makes a deal for it, I kind of feel like he's almost an evil version of the Wizard of Oz, because with the Wizard of Oz, everyone came to him because they wanted something, and then he made the deal. Well, if you go bring me the broomstick of the Witch of the West, then I'll grant your request. And he's, Rumpelstiltskin is kind of doing the same thing. I'll tell you this information if you promise me this, or if you tell me this. So, just posing that. It's Christmas morning, 2 a.m., so Merry Christmas, everyone, and a Happy New Year. And if you are in the Seattle area and this comes out before New Year's Eve, come check out Celebration Lane and look for the bass drummer by Red Robin. That'll be me. Otherwise, just search for it on YouTube. It's also under Snowflake Lane. Very magical show that we do every year. And I'm on my only night off now until New Year's Day. So, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and yeah. Wizard of Oz, Rumpelstiltskin connection.
Thank you very much, Tyler.
Yes, thanks.
Thank you for your card. It was a wonderful card, and I wanted to thank you for that.
So. Yes, yes, we enjoyed that quite a bit.
It was a very special thing. Our first card we got for the podcast. Mm-hmm. So it was very special.
Yeah.
So, Tyler's a busy guy.
Tyler's very busy.
I had no idea that he was involved in all that. So well, yeah. That's pretty cool.
That sounds like a really cool thing, too. I want to check it out on YouTube.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Rumpelstiltskin and Wizard of Oz. I definitely see the connection there. And the funny thing is, I know he says the evil version of, but I keep coming back to, is he really evil? Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it seems like that's the case, but...
Well, the next episode will tell the tale for sure.
It will tell the tale because I believe that's his backstory, which is interesting.
But you definitely have a good point mm-hmm. there. And actually, somebody else, I can't remember who, but somebody else had mentioned that they saw similarities with Wizard of Oz as well. The wind and all that. So the two worlds. And,
yeah, interesting. So, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, definitely the bring me this and I'll do this. And so, yeah.
Everything comes at a price.
Absolutely. Very, very good.
Oh, yeah, I like it. It's a good theory.
And here's our next voicemail.
Hi, guys. This is Joel from Green Bay, Wisconsin. I originally called a few weeks back with my prediction that Sheriff Graham would possibly be Pinocchio, and unfortunately I was wrong about that. But one thing to consider is that in the initial episode, Pinocchio was present during the round table discussion between all of the fairy tale characters concerning the curse. So where's Pinocchio now? That is the question. Also, it looks like Pinocchio was playing with something that kind of looked like a wooden fish or whale, which kind of leads speculation that, again to Dr. Whale and the involvement there. I feel like Dr. Whale, in my opinion, might possibly be the Beast coming up. I originally thought he would be Gaston, but because of his arrogance and attributes like that, but I see that another actor was casted for that role coming up. Also, we are looking to see the Beauty and the Beast story start to come out, it looks like, in early February in the show. So it's a good possibility Dr. Whale might be the Beast. Also, when you think of a whale, what is it but a large beast? Food for thought there. Another question is, Emma wears a necklace around her neck that looks like it has a ring on it. I don't know what the connection is. If it is indeed a ring, what does that symbolize, or where is that going to lead us to? That's my predictions for right now. Have a great show, and thanks for everything you do.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Joel. And yes, we definitely know that Sheriff Graham is, he was the huntsman, but I do find his theory about the beast being very interesting.
Yep. Yep.
Because yes, Dr. Whale, I mean, we've had a couple of theories float around. One is that he's Doc from the Seven Dwarves, mm-hmm. which I don't support, but, okay.
but it's still a solid theory.
It's a solid theory. But that's not my theory.
Okay.
My theory is that he is Monster of the Whale. But interestingly enough, the fact is, yeah.
And you know who I think he is?
Yeah, the Big Bad Wolf.
But the whale, because that's what I did see at one point, the whale was kind of spelled as W-A-I-L, which could be beastly, which could be what Joel is saying here.
His name tag is spelled W-H-A-L-E.
But I'm telling you, I mean, mm-hmm. just, no, okay. I know. But no, that actually is solid, because when he looked at Ruby.
Yes.
Ruby could be a representation of, you know, the beauty. You know what I mean?
Oh, possibly.
And the beast is more
a little bit of a stretch,
kind of like Joe's saying here, is the beast is more
right. Now I see him being more of a
shy
beast. No, the beast wasn't shy though.
Well, okay. All right.
The beast wasn't shy. He held himself away. He kept himself purposely locked up in his own castle because he didn't want to hear people, you know, mock him, make fun of him.
But
I do see that that's a very viable, very right. viable.
So no,
because we have, I mean, look how many theories there are now about Dr. Will.
Right.
I hope they reveal who he is soon, because I'm kind of want to know now for sure.
But now look, that's a solid theory.
Yep.
About the beast. Excellent. Excellent
yeah.
work.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought of that either, but that's really good. I like it.
Now, let's talk about the ring.
The ring.
Around Emma's neck.
And that's
neck.
The funny thing. I kind of vaguely remember what it looks like, but I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it. I think I tucked it away, and then there was never anything to do with it, so I kind of just, like, let it go. But now I'm starting to think,
Well, I always thought that it was I thought she was either going to be married or was married
possibly.
To Henry's father.
Didn't seem like she was married to him, but then that we don't know. But here's the thing.
Could have been an engagement.
It could have been. So. Here's my theory. Here's a theory, just a wild one, just off the top of my head. What if it's her mother's ring? And here's where I'm thinking this is the case. In the movie Annie, supposedly she was dropped off at the orphanage with half of a locket. And then her parents had the other half so that they could come back and claim her when they were able to.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I'm thinking is, what if it's her mother's ring and she's going to be able to claim it.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
That's a stretch. It's not the green ring that she...
No. Okay, and I don't think it's that one. I'm just saying it's a ring.
And just to say, Colleen just brought up Annie because that just clicked for her. Right. So it's not a fairy tale.
No, it's not.
That. It's just, it's an idea that she had that it was similar to. Right. So,
And then I'm starting to think, and I know at least in one of the fairy tales, somebody, I don't want to say which one I think it is because I'll be totally wrong, but I remember very, very distinctly in one of the fairy tales, it was that somebody asked for, it may have been Rumpelstiltskin actually, mm-hmm. now that I think about it, in exchange for, because it was three nights that he had to spend straw into gold for the miller's daughter.
Right.
The first night, I think he got her necklace. The second night, he got her ring, and that was all she had. And so the third night, that's when he said, okay, you're firstborn. If I remember right, that's the story of the actual story of Rumpelstiltskin, and I believe it was a ring. So again, don't know.
Okay. I was trying to get actually a...
And by the way, my connection with the whole ring being her mother's, you know, connection to Annie, it wasn't that I was connecting it to Annie. It's that I'm saying it reminded me of the fact trigger.
And that's what I was saying. Just look, we all have certain things in our life that we've seen that trigger a connection. Mm-hmm. And that's why I call that the section connections.
Right.
Because we've all probably seen different movies, maybe. We've all read different books. Mm-hmm. And there's certain things that connect to something else because I think everything is connected and things just struck a chord.
Right. Okay? Right.
So anyway.
Back to what you were saying. Sorry.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it was we've seen in other stories, like a Sherlock Holmes, that the faded love that almost was, mm-hmm. you know, and this, the pain of carrying it on, you know, maybe that's the ring, you know, no one's asked her about it yet, you know, and, but I think it possibly True. Could be, you know, that.
Yeah, it's possible.
So now,
I mean, anything's possible at this point.
The one thing I want to say also is on the site, I do have, and I want to thank Obie's Girl again from the bottom of my heart. Just fantastic thing she did is I'm putting up cast bios, not to be an end all be all bio of everything. But what I do want it to be for is their birthdays and a Twitter name and that kind of a thing. And I've verified it all. I hope that they're all right. The Twitter names, because there's silly people out there that do silly things.
Yes.
And, but what's really cool is Obie's Girl went back and found all the tweet chats during the episodes where the actors like Josh Dallas and Lana Paria and all the different actors that have done that so far, Raphael Sabarge and all that.
And Jenny, yeah.
Yep. And we've attached those to those cast bios.
Nice.
I'm going to do them all, but the first group of them was for that. And in Lana Paria's list, it said, we will see Henry's father in the future.
Really?
So,
oh, very cool.
So I'm just, you know, initially you might think, well, if it's a wedding ring that she's wearing around her neck, maybe he died.
That's a possibility too.
But with
that, we don't know.
You know, again, so it's no spoilers on Twitter, and you know she shared that, and you can go and check it out. So,
right.
There's a link. It said cast bios on the front page of the website. You can click there, and at this point, you have to scroll down. I'm working on a plugin, and da da da. I'm geeking out. Anyway, it's there. Okay. So yeah. Anyway, very cool. Thanks again for calling back. Warms my heart when people call back.
Yes, it does.
Because sometimes you go, how are they doing? Where are they at? What's happening?
So, do they still like us?
Thanks. All right.
That's awesome.
And here we go.
Hey, guys. This is Hillary in Colorado. Thanks for the great podcast. Hey, I was just listening to your last episode and had a couple of thoughts. I don't think the Evil Queen knows who Emma is, and I don't think she knows who Henry is, because she probably would have just destroyed Henry if she realized who he was. But I do think that Mr. Gold knows exactly who both of them are. Also, a quick note about IMDb. Last time I checked, it did say that Sheriff Graham was in 22 episodes on there, and if he is in fact dead, I don't think that he can be in 22 episodes. So I'm not sure you can believe everything you see on IMDb. The other biggest question that I had was about Sheriff Graham and the heart. If the Queen was able to keep the Huntsman alive without his heart, what about her father? Because when she took her father's heart for the curse, we didn't see him after that. We assumed he was dead, but is he really? So just something to think about. Again, thanks for the great podcast. Bye.
Thank you, Hillary.
Yeah, thanks.
She called back too. Yay. Thanks. So.
Those are great, great observations. Because she's absolutely right. I mean, yeah. In fact, something that Jeffrey told us when we had lunch with him yesterday is that his IMDb page is mixed up with another actor by the name of Jeffrey Kaiser. So the stuff that's on the IMDb page, it's part of it is for him and part of it is for some other guy. So he said he has to sort that out. So IMDb doesn't always have the most accurate information.
Right. Okay.
But on the flip side, as we have said before, these lost writers, the writers tend to make you think you're not going to see somebody again, but you will because they have backstory or fairy tale world. So I think we're going to see more of him. 22 episodes. Don't know, but we'll see.
Well, all right.
I'm sure we will.
So, okay. For sure, I think we will see more of the Huntsman in the flashbacks.
Yes.
Because he was not dead in that. I would assume for a while. Okay. So we'll probably see flashbacks. And I mean, there is talk. I do not know, but I hear little echoes here and there.
Right.
That something will be done to bring him back. I have not read the interview that Adam Horowitz and Andrew
Kitsis
did about the second half of the season. So there may be little clues there, but I have not read that. So I think there's cooking up something.
Yeah, but I do love her point. She's got a point. If, in fact, she was able to keep the Huntsman alive without his heart. And again, we've kind of, to sidetrack this, we've also talked about, did she really take his heart?
Right.
Or did she take his soul? It's a whole nother ball game. But anyway, the fact is, if she had to take out her father's heart to enact the curse, does that mean she was able to keep it? And maybe she figured out she could do that, and that's how she started the collection. I mean, who knows?
That's a good point.
It's an interesting point. I think it's fascinating. Will we see her father again? I would think at some point in time, we will.
Hillary is actually thinking correctly. You know, it's one thing to see a gravestone with a name.
Right.
It's another thing to see that there is, in fact, a body there.
Right.
And, you know, it all goes back to, and I know some people get, but look, it goes back to Star Wars, right? So when Obi-Wan says, you know, your father is dead, you know, and then he was talking to Luke and he told Luke something. I can't remember what it is.
Darth Vader killed your father.
Right. And then Luke later on said, well, wait a minute, you told me this. And he goes, well, that was true from a certain point of view. And that's really the whole gist of what we're talking about here.
Right. Because, well, look at Regina's father's mausoleum.
Right.
There was no body in that crypt.
Mm-hmm.
So unless he was in one of the urns. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. But good point. And that's kind of what we're talking about here is I wouldn't believe everything that you hear somebody say on the show.
Right.
Because it could be from their point of view. And also,
there is an element of truth, but it's not the whole truth.
Right. It goes back to Sheriff when he was looking around in the forest, he goes, wait, this is my domain. I got this. And everyone said, aha, he's the big bad wolf, you know. And so there's these little, you know, MacGuffins, mm-hmm. which these little hints that lead you off in a certain direction to think a certain thing, but that's not really the truth. It's
that's not the most
something
important
completely
piece. Right.
different,
completely,
and they're trying right. to just kind of get like a magician, right? You know, a good drama or a good mystery is just guiding your mind to a certain area, and then something comes out of the other side, surprise, and just I didn't even think that. So.
Well, and again, it comes back to, you know, we've seen these, you know, we're assuming based on what we're seeing that Graham is dead, right?
Right.
We don't know if he's really dead.
Right.
What if he's in a coma?
Well,
what if he's just in a coma?
And, you know, again, that's a valid point. We saw him crumple on the floor, and yet we see he's in 22 episodes. Now, maybe his agreement for the show is I want to be in every credit. I don't know.
Yeah, you we know don't what know. I mean? We don't know.
So let's kind of go back to because I think we talked about this. Cool.
Yeah.
I don't want to miss the first point she had here.
Okay.
Was that the Evil Queen doesn't really know who Emma and Henry is.
Right.
And if she did, something would have been done about
right.
it.
Right. Right.
So.
And I totally agree. I don't think she really knows because she wasn't there when Snow White told Rumpelstiltskin what her daughter's name was. She wasn't there when Rumpelstiltskin told Snow White that her daughter would be the savior on her 28th birthday. So, yeah, I don't think she knows who they are.
Well, yeah, and that's.
But I'm quite confident Mr. Gold does.
Let me sidetrack for a second, and then we'll swoop back. I'm doing a text commentary for the pilot episode. So what I'm doing is I'm going through, and I'm kind of Roni-zoning it. I'm taking all the little pieces that I think are very interesting, something to point out, and I'm typing it out, and there's a link to it. I think it's called OUAT videos on the front page of the site. And what you do is a manual thing. It's not automatic, but you can scroll through the different points as the pilot's playing. And once it's gone off of Hulu, because that's the only way I could embed it,
yeah,
is you could still scroll through it if you have a smartphone or something, and you can watch it on your computer screen or on your television. But that was the one thing I said, you know, if the Evil Queen can appear as a rat and kind of listen in and has this magical power, why in the world can Rumpelstiltskin run off at the mouth and tell the end game of this curse, give this how to fix it, how to unravel it, to Snow White? I mean, if I was the Evil Queen, I would be there in a heartbeat and say, excuse me, or I would have just wiped him out. So you sold me out.
She doesn't have the power to do it,
but
though.
I'm just...
But okay. That's what I'm saying. I see your point. Okay. I totally get it. So, but she ultimately doesn't have the power because she has no power.
Okay. And again, next week is going to tell the tale, but right. You know, it's probably Rumpelstiltskin's got all the... everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, back to Hillary's point is that, in Storybrooke, she was asking Mr. Gold, you know, who is Henry? She was asking specifics.
I don't remember her
when
asking.
He was leaving. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I remember her asking about Emma. I don't remember her asking about Henry.
Okay, but she was asking. Okay, she was asking.
I don't
about
think she
Emma.
Was asking about her either. I think she was pointing out. I've done a little digging, and guess what? There's not much on her.
No, you're thinking about Sydney.
No,
hold on.
I'm
really.
Yes, I imagine she's halfway to Boston by now.
I wouldn't bet on that. I just seen her strolling down the main street with your boy. Thick as thieves, they looked.
What?
Perhaps you should have come to me. If Miss Swan is a problem you can't fix, I'm only too happy to help. For a price, of course.
I'm not in the business of making deals with you anymore.
To which deal are you referring?
You know what deal.
All right, yeah. The boy I procured for you. Henry. Did I ever tell you what a lovely name that was? However, did you pick it?
Did you want her to come to town? You wanted all this to happen, didn't you? Your finding Henry wasn't an accident, was it?
Whatever do you mean?
Where did you get him? Do you know something?
I have no idea what you're implying.
I think you do. Who is this woman, his mother, this Emma Swan?
I would say you think you know exactly who she is. I really must be going.
Tell me what you know about her.
I'm not going to answer you, dear. So I suggest you excuse me. Please.
Okay. So, wow. Little of both.
Oh, okay.
So, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd forgotten that conversation. I mean, I forgot the details of that conversation. I do remember it was very... What I focused on at the time was the fact that they were kind of intimating that they knew who they were. Mm-hmm. That was the first time I realized, ooh, he knows what's going on. And I think she does, too.
So, okay. Let's kind of finish up with Hillary's first point. Is another, to me, kind of a dangerous thought pattern is to say the all or nothing, right? That Regina knows everything. And I right. think that's a dangerous thought pattern. I think she knows certain things. And I would say the only person who knows a lot more is probably Mr. Gold. So
anyway. I'm convinced he knows exactly everything that's going on.
Okay. All right.
Seriously, because, you know, he does. I don't think she does. I think she has most of her memory, but maybe she's missing pieces.
But again, obviously, you know, the heart vault and all that, that's her domain. She would absolutely know all about that.
Oh, yeah.
But it's funny that she's running up and down and, you know, where's Henry at? I can't find Henry. You know, she needs people to find things. And, you know, it's just anyway, I don't think she knows everything. I mean, she knows a lot. But anyway. So.
Yeah, she may not have full memory. I think she's starting to get it back, though. And I think that okay. Emma coming to town and the first thing that happened in the town was what started her memory to come back.
Okay, so it's either bringing her memory back or it's removing certain things from her memory.
Oh, maybe.
It could have the opposite effect.
That's possible, too.
So you know, it's the good people are getting stronger and maybe the eviler people are getting or less evil now or something like that.
More evil.
Well, okay. Okay. So let's see. Yep. Okay. I think we're cool. Thanks, Hillary.
Yes.
Good
thank
to hear from you again.
Yeah. Another one.
And here we go. You okay?
Yeah, I got something in my eye, but that's all right. Keep going.
Okay.
Hey there, guys. It's Corrine from Connecticut. Happy New Year's. I just wanted to say a few things. I stumbled upon your show recently, and I'm really enjoying it. Now I'm playing catch-up. I wanted to talk about something that you mentioned before, Henry Mill being the Evil Queen's father and, you know, the connection with that, and I do believe that somehow... Well, the Evil Queen is actually the original Miller's daughter that Rumpelstiltskin had to deal with in the original Rumpelstiltskin story. But also, something else that I don't think anyone has mentioned so far, I don't know because I haven't heard all of the podcasts yet, but the fact that the Evil Queen's costumes, they usually have plumage of some sort, some kind of feather, on her costume or her cape or even in her hair when she invokes the dark curse, you see feathers in her hair. And also on her henchmen, her guards, on their helmets, there seems to be very thin black feathers. And I'm wondering about the connection between Swan, like Swan Lake. I don't think it's a coincidence that Emma Swan has a name that she has because of the fact that Rumpelstiltskin is able to go back and forth. He was able to get Henry as an adopted child for the mayor, so he can go into, outside of Storybrooke. And I wonder how much he had to do with it. Not that I think that Emma is related to the mayor or the evil queen, but I don't know, something very interesting there. And also about Rumpelstiltskin and what his backstory could be, his pronounced limp, the fact that when he was in jail and he was making that deal with the evil queen, he almost looked sad or tragic when he mentioned what he wanted his life to be in the new world. So, once again, thanks for the show. Keep up the good work. Really good stuff. And I'm looking forward to hearing more podcasts. Bye-bye. Take care.
Thanks, Corrine. I really appreciate it.
That's awesome.
I mean, we have the greatest listeners of what? I mean, it's incredible.
We do. We really do.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We really do.
I said from the very beginning, there's three parts of this show. It's the listeners, the awesome cast, and us. Without one of those three things, we don't have a show.
Right.
So, these feedback voicemails are just awesome.
Oh, totally. So, totally.
Wow. Okay. So,
first point was about Regina Mills being the Miller's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's an interesting thing. When she was saying that, I was thinking to myself, oh my gosh, we've been talking about the fact that, okay, so let's just go assume that Regina is the Miller's daughter, because that would make sense and that's kind of logical. So we'll just pretend that that's the case. If that is in fact the case, like I said, in the story of Rumpelstiltskin, the whole story itself in a nutshell is that this Miller claims that his daughter is able to spin straw into gold. And he does this so that she can marry the prince. Right? In order to do this, Rumpelstiltskin, he finds out that Rumpelstiltskin kind of help out with this. And so he basically begs him, and Rumpelstiltskin requires payment for the first night.
Right.
Like I said, I believe it was a necklace. The second night, I believe, was a ring. The third night was a child, the firstborn child. We're seeing that Regina's made a deal with him. And he even just now said in that one, which one are you referring to?
Right.
So she's clearly made more than one, because she says, I'm not doing any deals with you anymore.
Right.
Which means there's more than one. So if that's in fact the case, then I'm guessing the thing you love most is not a lover or a husband. I'm now wondering if it's a child.
Hmm. Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Hmm. Could be.
Because that would fit in very well and perfectly with the story. Because she ended up married to the king, but maybe she had to give away her firstborn.
Well, and I don't think that we've mentioned this, but I've heard this in other places, that we need to kind of figure in how important the firstborn is.
Right.
Okay. So I'm just kind of figuring that in with the conversation.
Right, right.
But also she's bringing up the fact of the plumage on the costume.
Right.
And it's very clear that when Emma got the key from Granny, that there was a swan on there.
Right.
So at least some kind of a bird, right, for
and,
sure.
And, so. And she would be the black swan. In the story, Emma could be the white swan.
Mm-hmm.
So the prince falls in love with the white swan, and then the black swan comes in and seduces the prince. And I mean, so even the Emma Graham Regina triangle could be some real distant correlation to the black swan.
And
or Swan Lake, I should say, not the black swan, but Swan Lake.
And, Swan Princess has been kind of bounced around as well. Sure. So.
Sure. No, great observation. Really great observation. Yeah, I did notice the feathers, too. There's a lot of feathers everywhere. Not just Regina, but it seems like, yeah, there's feathers. What's funny is there's feathers on what I would consider the the evil characters or the bad characters. Regina, her henchman, and Abigail, the first, well, the woman that James was supposed to marry instead of Snow White. She had feathers all over her costume, her dress. But like Snow White, she didn't have feathers. She's got fur. She had fur in her stuff. So it's interesting that there's this, you know, correlation, animal stuff. Not sure where we're going to go with that, but we'll see.
She mentioned that Rumpelstiltskin was able to go outside of Storybrooke to procure Henry. And I'm assuming it was from Phoenix. I'm not certain, but
that's what I very distinctly remember. Okay. So I'm pretty confident he was born in Phoenix, because I remember that we made a comment about that a couple of times. Henry was born in Phoenix. So, and we know Emma was there. So that being the case, how did Rumpelstiltskin get him?
Right.
He had to have been able to leave.
All we know is every time one of the people in Storybrooke that isn't 10 years old and is not the savior, when they leave or try to leave, bad things happen.
Right.
Okay.
Right. But remember, we talked about the fact that he's able to poof in and out anytime he wants, pops out of nowhere, out of thin air. Mm-hmm. So what would prevent him from being able to pop out?
I
think he has the ability to transport somehow.
Yeah.
And for all we know, he made a phone call and got Henry from Phoenix, and Henry was transported to Maine.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Yep. He didn't necessarily go get him.
Yeah. We're kind of with that mindset of he has to actually go, but anyway, cause he used a very specific word, because he didn't say I went and got him.
Procured.
Right. Which could be through someone else.
Sure.
And really quick, really quick, let's kind of go through, you and I were talking the other day, and I at least want to get this recorded down, is that, so let's talk about where Emma has been, just in the script.
That we know of.
Okay. For sure, she was in Phoenix.
Yep.
She was in Boston.
And yes.
Okay. And she was in Tallahassee.
Yes.
Okay. So those are at least three places that she has been.
Yes.
Why? We don't know.
Okay. Yeah, we don't know.
Phoenix, that she was the birth of Henry at that point.
Right.
So anyway, but I just want to kind of get that out there so we can kind of keep up and remember, because it's hard sometimes. So
a lot of details to remember.
So she mentioned his limp.
Yeah, he does. Well, he walks with a cane, remember?
Right.
And so does he really have a limp? Is that for show, to kind of make himself appear weak? Do you know what I mean? Because it could and again, Usual Suspects comes to mind.
Right. Okay. But in one of the sneak peeks, he did have a crutch of some kind.
Okay.
So.
And again, we don't know why.
True. You know, the only thing that I can remember is in the Bible, when it's talking about Jacob, he wrestled with the angel and he got the blessing. And then during that wrestling match, his hip was put out of joint. And he walked with a limp the rest of his life. Hmm. But he got the blessing, but he walked with a limp. And if I remember right, it's so that the people will know that you wrestled with God. It was like a sign to people. The limp meant something. So anyhow.
And we don't know what caused it.
Right.
But maybe we'll find out in the upcoming episode.
So yeah. And he did, like I said, next week is going to tell a lot of tales.
Yeah.
But for sure, Hillary's right. When he was in jail, he seemed very, he seemed sad. And he kind of like he was begging. Say, look, the only thing I ask is, once this curse is put in play, I want to have it all.
Yeah, I think it was like that was the only thing to kind of make up for whatever he lost. And I'm sure we'll figure out that that's the case. Because, again, we don't know his story, so we don't know.
Yep. Okay.
And besides, I mean, think about it. You get a genie who can give you anything you want.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What's the first thing people ask for?
Well, and it's funny because, you know, it said, you know, money can't buy you love, money can't buy you happiness, but that's the one thing he asked for. But it certainly looks like to me that he's lost a lot. And in that, in that whole loss, you know, the only thing he can really ask for, because you can't bring back the dead, let's say, you know, whoever that might be. And the only thing he asked for is money. And so,
Yeah. Because really, that's all you can
do. And he's got a pretty good business going down there and taking people's names and taking their stuff. And it's pretty interesting. Old Rumpel on one world and Mr. Gold on the other.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks, Hillary, so much for calling in.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen, this is Wayne Henderson from the Fringe Casting with Wayne and Dan podcast, calling in for the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. And in regards to anything once related and Christmas, well, I did receive my handy dandy Once Upon a Time, a collection of classic fairy tales hardcover book that ABC was promoting during the last one or two episodes of Once Upon a Time. And I bought it through Amazon, where it's more affordable than buying it through ABC site. But still, it's a nice little book. It came, it's not exactly what I was expecting, because I thought I had read somewhere when they were first promoting it that it was going to, in addition to these classic old fairy tales, that it was also going to include the script for episode one of Once Upon a Time. I don't know if I misread, but or dreamt it, maybe in my fairy tale past. Who knows? But anyway, it's still, for the price, a great little collection. It's got an excellent foreword about Once Upon a Time in the history of the fairy tales, basically. And these are all great fairy tales. I know there's many collections of these Grimm and other fairy tales. But this is just a nice one with a nice cover and a great price. And I'm glad to have it. And I've never really read any of these classic fairy tales. So now I'm going to read these, and I, too, will be in the know.
Hey there, check this. There's a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is oncepodcast@gmail.com. Our blog web address is at aclosserlookouat.ronizone.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us. Now, back to the show.
And now we will discuss a little about what's coming.
We will?
Next Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah.
We don't know much about what's coming.
Well, but we've seen... Okay. So we've seen these sneak peek little clips. And the one thing I did see is the exchange between Henry and Emma. This is kind of a classic story point where now Henry, instead of... See, Henry was the believer. He believed and he was preaching the belief in the book and that this is everyone's in this book. This is who you are. But now he's saying, no, look.
I don't think it's that he doesn't believe anymore.
Well, but he said good doesn't always win.
Maybe he's trying reverse psychology on Emma.
Okay.
Maybe he's trying to get her to say, no, because you know what? You're right.
Okay, fair enough.
He's a smart little kid. He's a smart little kid. And I think he's doing reverse psychology. And plus, I think, honestly, from a 10-year-old perspective, I think he saw that Graham got hurt, whatever happened to Graham.
Right.
And I think he's worried that something bad's going to happen to somebody else. I mean, if Regina's the one who did it, and they don't even know.
Right,
they have no idea. But if she had that capability, What's to prevent her from doing that to somebody else? And not only that, you know, what, even if it isn't her, because, you know, they don't know, something bad happened, and he's afraid that if they keep pushing, something even worse is going to happen.
Well, and
I think he really, truly, just absolutely, just totally loves Emma.
Yeah.
He really sees her as his mom, and he really wants to be with her.
Right.
I think that's awesome.
Yep. And I remember the clip from the end of the last episode is we're almost done. I'm putting my wife to sleep over here.
No, it's just been a long day.
Yeah. So, but no, Regina told Mr. Gold, you know, are you siding with Emma over me? And so again, we see this progression of people leaving Regina and jumping from it. You know, the rats jumping from the ship. You know, Henry's wants away from her. Graham wanted away. And now Mr. Gold.
Yeah.
So it's a very interesting thing. We know there's a fire. We don't know exactly what's going to go on in the fire. I'm going to say, and I kind of inferred it before, I think Mary Margaret is somewhere in that fire, and she's going to blow that whistle. She's going to find that whistle somewhere and blow that whistle. And we may see a few of our friends.
Okay.
Possibly. Maybe. Something.
Maybe.
So.
Be interesting.
But anyway, that's what I remember about that. And also the discussion between Emma and Regina about who's going to take Graham's place.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, and then Regina kind of pulls out of thin air, well, it's going to be Sydney, a reporter.
Well, and the funny thing is, yeah, that's kind of wackadoodle.
Probably the last person under her thumb, basically.
Well, sure. The only person left under her thumb, actually. Because remember back in the pilot, Granny said he owns the town.
Right.
So, actually, here's just a little fun theory. What if Regina does go ahead and make Sydney the sheriff, which is hilarious? And then Mr. Gold finds out and says to Regina, I think you need to make Emma. And when she says, no, I'm not going to do it, he's going to go, please, for me.
Wow.
And then she will have to do it. That's how she's going to end up. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm speculating. I don't have any knowledge of anything, but I'm just speculating.
And it's another situation where so I remember the same line being said, and I don't know if you remember Regina talking to Emma at the mine. She said, I need help me. Help me find Henry, right? Help me rescue Henry.
Oh, yeah.
But she specifically said, help me to Emma. And she said the same thing to Emma in the fire.
Oh, interesting. Help me. Yeah. So, well, maybe she's trapped, though.
Well, for someone who's all powerful, she sure needs a lot of help.
But that's the whole point. Yeah. That's what I keep trying to say. She's all talk and just all bravado and no substance behind it. She doesn't have any magical powers. Oh, she might have figured out how to turn herself into a rat. Maybe. And even that, maybe she took a potion to do it. Okay. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
We don't know. We don't know how she did that. So what I'm saying is she doesn't seem to have a whole lot of power.
So the scene we saw when Emma was in Mr. Gold's shop and Mr. Gold had all of Graham's things, she basically kind of pushed the little walkie-talkies on Emma.
Yeah, he did.
To play with Henry.
Right.
And I think what's going to happen is Henry or Emma, but I think it's going to be Henry, is going to be stuck somewhere with that walkie-talkie. And I think the walkie-talkie may be lost or something, and we may hear another voice from a character we have not seen in Storybrooke yet.
Interesting.
That's a very lost thing to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened before,
yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that's what's going to happen now.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that.
Hi there, this is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast.
Check out my voice acting services at mediavoiceovers.com. Thanks for listening. And now back to the show.
And then the scene with Rumpelstiltskin and his son, seemed to me a little bit of Mulan-ish, a little bit, in that the father couldn't fight. I'm not quite sure. It looks like they're demeaning him and all that. But
oh, yeah, yeah.
But the initially, it really seemed like it was Mulan. It was like, well, if you can't fight, he can, you know, or whatever. We don't know the end of
which
that
isn't
scene,
quite so. Mulan.
Well, okay.
Mulan basically stole her father's papers, his conscript papers, okay. and said that she was a boy to be able to go fight. Father was prepared to go, even though he wasn't set up for it. But it is interesting. It is a pretty interesting close tie-in. Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. So anyway, that's one of those maybe by a hair, but not really strong.
Right. Right.
That's not my strongest thing there.
No, so. But I mean, look, some of these connections, let's face facts. They're not going to basically turn all the Disney stories or all the stories into exact. They have to weave their own story around it using bits and pieces. So if they put a little twist on the story, that's we've already seen that happening.
Right.
So I think we're going to see more of that happening. It'll be close. So I'm not saying you're wrong. It's a good theory. It's a really interesting, you know, concept. So yeah, I'm just saying it's not exactly like Mulan, but it's definitely got some definite hints of it.
The one thing that I really noticed is how sad and pitiful Rumpelstiltskin looked. He had the crutch.
Yeah.
He was limping. He didn't look strong. And basically
he looked guilty.
The guard or whatever basically said, you have no land, you have no money, you have nothing. And which takes me to the next scene that we saw at the end of the last episode was him summoning some kind of power.
Right.
Because, I mean, that was a specific word right out of the guard or whoever the military guy was, is you have no power, you have nothing. You have no money, no land, no title, nothing.
Right, which is interesting because if you actually remember, that's what he told Regina or Evil Queen he wanted in the new world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He said, I want power, I want land, I want title, I want money.
Mm.
I remember those, I'm specifically title and land being a huge thing for him.
Yeah. So, it's going to be very, very interesting. And it looked like there was a battle going on.
Yes.
In the fairy tale
potential
land.
Battle. Yeah.
And I, you know, and that's another thing is, you know, the interchange between the warriors and the people. So.
Right.
So we'll stop there.
Okay.
I don't think there's anything else. I think we've covered up my blunder and our great lunch with Jeffrey.
Yes.
And I think we've covered everything.
Nice.
So, you know, the one thing at the end I want to say is thank you very much to all the new listeners. I know we've got a bunch of new listeners, so thank you very much. And please, if you could, subscribe at iTunes. And if you would, even further, please rate and review our show.
Yeah.
We really appreciate it. And it's not just specifically, it's like, oh, how great we are, but it's because we want to give other people an opportunity to listen too.
Right.
So the more ratings, the more reviews, the higher we get and the more people will notice. So,
right. And that is exactly it. We want to make sure that other people, you know, if you enjoy this podcast and you think other people might enjoy it, then by all means share your, you know, feelings about the podcast.
Right.
We want you to, you know, we want you to give other people the same opportunity you have to enjoy it. So, I mean, we could go rate it ourselves, but that would be kind of silly.
Yeah, we don't want to do that.
No.
So, and that's another thing too, is if you know someone who maybe is new to podcasting or something like that, maybe they enjoy blogs. I know there's some great Tumblr sites out there. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you can kind of help people kind of at least go to the site and play the episode on the site. and then kind of walking through the process, say, you know, you can actually subscribe through iTunes and that kind of a thing.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm convinced that there are people that are blog people and there's people that are podcast people. And sometimes to get one type of person to switch over is kind of, you need to take some steps. So, if you could help us out as listeners of this show to bring some blog readers over to the podcast side, that would be fantastic. So anyway, happy new year.
Yes.
Happy new. Let's leave the bad stuff of 2011.
Yep.
In 2011. Let's move on. 2012 is going to be a fantastic year.
2011 is taking its final breath. Very soon.
That's right.
And so, but 2012 is being born very shortly.
Right.
And so, yeah, we want to wish all of our Once Upon a Time Fam podcast family members.
Right. Right.
Cause you guys are a little family.
Correct.
We love interactions with you guys. We get the voicemails, the emails, the Twitter comments, the blog posts. I mean, it's unbelievable. And we love having these connections with you guys. So keep doing that because we love it. But we want to wish you guys a merry new year.
And I want you to know that the cast of the show, the connections that we've made with the fantastic cast members, they know about this show.
They do.
Mig specifically has said, I've sent links to the other Team 7 dwarves, you know, to check out your podcast. So they're listening. I would imagine that they check it out from time to time. I know they're busy folks.
Yeah,
but,
very.
You know, if there's something that the fans are doing or the fans are involved in, they're going to be checking it out. Yeah. So just know that, you know, the love you have for the show, you know, we were telling Jeffrey about it.
Yeah.
And, but they're knowing, they're finding out. So I think that's about it. Oh, one more thing, I promise, is the stuff that we're planning. We're planning some interviews and different things. It's going to blow your mind.
Yeah.
Blow your mind. And the next big interview that I'm really focused on was a team effort. Remember I told you about the three parts of the show? We should do a little, you know, some type of anagram or something. It's the listeners, it's the hosts, and it's the cool cast and crew and production group of the show. Those are the three parts.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, the next interview that we're going to do is really going to be cool. Was a team effort. I found out from a listener, and we made a connection, and I've been talking to this person. And we're going to be doing an interview. So we all work together. And when we work together, amazing things happen. I said it before, I'll say it again. So anyway, happy new year.
Happy new year.
Big hugs to everybody. Just hang in there. The 8th is coming fast. So just don't droop. Just hang in there. Okay.
That's right.
All right. We'll be here. We're just an email or a voicemail away or Twitter or whatever, Facebook status away. So take care, and we will talk to you soon.
Bye.
See you.